All right, Saints, title of today's message is Invite Them on the Journey. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, challenge us to become all that we can be in you so that we might become the people of God you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we've been preaching a sermon series entitled Making a Difference. We've looked at the titles, We've Got the Best. We've looked at Put Yourself in Their Place. We've looked at Stop by the Church, We Got Good News. And today I will wrap up our series with Invite Them on the Journey. How many of you know our decision to invite someone just to come to church can change their lives for a lifetime? When I look at how long some of you have been members of this church and how somebody one day invited you and you came, you didn't know you were signing up for 40 years of service. And yet you have done just that, and we thank God for it. We thank all of you who have joined us today as we celebrate our 49th anniversary, and we invite you on a journey with us to a deeper walk with God. Now, as usual, I need your help to preach today's message by using your Holy Ghost imagination. All right, here you are. You just woke up. You're in a room. You have no idea where you are or how you got there. Someone walks into the room and they tell you, you must go into that other room right in front of you and you must choose one of four items to take with you and leave the room out the back door and don't come back here again. And no, you may not ask me any questions. So you walk into the other room and you see number one. And you walk over there and you see a ring with the biggest diamonds you have ever seen in your life. And then you see number two. And over there is a loaded gun. And then you see number three. It's an old piece of paper that says location of mines. And then number four, there is a suitcase full of Benjamins stacked this high. Brand new. It's a lot of them, even enough to make me have a heart attack. There is the door. Which of those four items do you choose? Now you think you know which one you really want to take with you, but there's one thing you don't know. What's on the other side of that door? Now, if you go on the other side of that door and there is a taxi cab waiting to take you home, you kissing that suitcase left and right. You just so happy, or you looking at that diamond ring and you just can't wait to show that thing off. But if you walk out that door and you see a grizzly bear heading toward you, how many of you glad you took the gun? But if you walk out that door and you see a sign, no one has ever made it across this field without a map showing the landmines. How many of you trying to reopen the door to put the money back to get the map? You see, all of us are on a journey. And at the end of the journey, we all end up in the same place. It's called death. And you can only talk about death in two places in our society, the church and the funeral home. They don't want to talk about it anywhere else. Even on TV, they don't even remind us too often that we are going to die. You might see a monument for your gravestone commercial, but that is about it. They don't even sell us death insurance. They sell us life insurance. But what do you got to do to get it? Die. So it's really death insurance, but that doesn't sound good enough. Death is like, what's on the other side of that door? Because if we knew what was on the other side of the door, we'd know exactly what we need to take on this side. Now, Jesus walked this faith, the face of this earth, about 2,000 years ago. And Jesus said, I am going away to prepare a place for you. And I am going to come back and take you there to be with me. And he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, when we hear Jesus say that, we say, did he really mean that? You see, many of us in the church, we don't actually believe we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. Many of us don't believe it. Many of us believe we are saved by good works. Many of us believe that good people go to heaven. And we don't just mean good Presbyterians and good Baptists and good Methodists and good Pentecostals. We mean good Jews and good Muslims and good Buddhists and good people who don't even go to church, that they're all going to somehow make it in. And for Jesus to say, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except through me, it seems narrow-minded. It seems exclusive. It seems a little bigoted, and it's just darn right un-American. Amen? Now, if you think that statement seems offensive now, what do you think it seemed like when Jesus first said it? He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, what are you talking about? We know you. Your mother's name is Mary. Your father's name was Joseph. That's your brother James right over there. You grew up in Nazareth. How on earth can you say you are the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the life? They ready to slap him upside the head just because he said it. Now, those of you who believe that all good people go to heaven, sometimes we say that's a fairer system. It just seems fair that all the good people should go to heaven. Now, you know what? God agrees with you. God agrees that all good people should go to heaven. He said there's only one problem. I searched all over and I didn't find a single one. There was not one good one anywhere. Now, if you are the exception to the rule, would you wave your hand so we can recognize you? There's a few problems with the theology good people go to heaven. The first one is, we got to get rid of the Bible because it's obviously wrong. Because God said there are no good people. And the second problem is, we got to get rid of Jesus because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we say that, well, you know, what about them people who ain't never heard of Jesus? Okay, let's look at the good people go to heaven theology. Let's just imagine that that worked. Got a couple of questions for you. How good do you have to be? Is it 90%? 80%? 70? 60? 51%? 50-50? Okay. Second question. What are the things that get you the good points? I mean, the real points, because we don't be wanting to waste our time, you know, doing stuff that's not really getting us points. And what are the things that get you the really bad points? And then, when do the point system start counting against you? Because some of y'all was pretty bad as kids. You were awful as teenagers. And what if you 75 and you've been doing bad all your life and the doctor says you got about 6 weeks to live? Is there something good you can do to make up for 75 years of bad? And who gets to decide what's good and what's not? You? So you are now prophet so-and-so? And you are somehow superior to the word of God? You have to admit you're just making this stuff up in your head as you go along. And what about the people who never heard about the good, bad list? So if they do bad, can we hold that against them because nobody told them it was bad? Anybody see any problems with the good people go to heaven theology? Andy Stanley, he used this illustration. He said, suppose you went to school and the teacher came in and the teacher said for the first day of class, class, there will be one test, pass, fail. It will be in 3 months. Have a good day. Yes? What are we supposed to read for this course? Anything you like. Yeah. Is there going to be a syllabus? Make up your own. How will we know what we're supposed to be studying? Just ask somebody in the class. How will we know what's going to be on the test? As soon as you get it, you will know. How many of you think that teacher is a good teacher? How many think that teacher is a fair teacher? A loving teacher? Well, see, if we had the theology, good people go to heaven, and somebody asked us, well, how do I go to heaven? We'd be giving them the same direction as that teacher was. Can you imagine lining up for a race? And a person says, on your march, get set. And somebody says, wait a minute. How far are we running? We'll let you know. Which way do we run? Doesn't matter. How will we know when we're finished? Somebody will tell you. Now contrast that with Jesus. Jesus says, he not only says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to God without me. But he also says in our New Testament reading, scripture says, then he said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for you to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit your very self? If any of you are ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of you when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Now I want you to notice, Jesus does not force himself on anybody. He said, whoever wants to be my disciple. So there's got to be a desire on our part. You've got to want to know him. So he gives that invitation to each of us to join him on this journey. And Jesus promises us eternal life. Eternal life doesn't begin when we die. Eternal life begins when we accept Jesus Christ. You see, if Jesus came just to get us to heaven, I told y'all this before, the best thing he could do for most of us to keep us from slipping into a life of sin is the moment you come down here and get saved, I say, Keon, bring me the gun. Bam! Take him on out. The person is now in heaven. We don't have to worry about them sinning again. Next. Bam. Take him out. Next. The rest of y'all have ran out of the church. Okay, so he didn't come just to put us in heaven. He came to change us right now. You know, the bad attitude that I be having toward my wife, Jesus doesn't want me to get to heaven before he start working on that thing. He wants me to change right now. And my wife wants me to change right now. She ain't got to get excited about me changing in heaven. And if you got an attitude problem, God wants to change you right now. Not when you get into heaven. You struggling with some sin? God wants to put an end to that thing right now. Okay, so eternal life is to begin right now. Praise God, y'all catching on. Pretty good. You see, when we go before God, none of us are going to go before God saying, now God, I got 453 good things that I did. It's not going to happen. It's not going to impress God one iota. When we go before God, we are standing in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's because when Christ died on that cross, okay, God filled him with all kind of righteousness for us. So we stand before God. God isn't looking at us. God is looking at his son, Jesus Christ, that we are in. That is why we are saved. Jesus taught something radical. He said, good people don't go to heaven. Bad people go to heaven. You say, Pastor Rick, you really messed up now. Jesus said, there were two men who went up to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other one was a tax collector. Now, the Pharisees of their time were the good people. I mean, they kept the law as tight as you could. They were even paid to be good people. That was their job, just like with me. I am paid to be good. Because I tell you, if I go and mess up, half y'all gonna vote to end my salary. Some of y'all already shaking y'all's head, and I didn't even get the words out good. Well, at least I got this in my favor. I get paid to be good. Y'all have to be good for nothing. Jesus said these two men went up to the temple to pray. The Pharisee said, Lord, I thank you that I am not like the rest of these people. I come to the temple. I fast twice a week. I give a full 10% of everything I gain. I am not like some of the folks at Glenville. I am not like this tax collector over here. And the tax collector, who was notorious. I mean, they just had horrible reputations for ripping people off. You go in there thinking you got a tax bill of $50, you leave out of there and left $400 behind. The tax collector, he doesn't even look up toward heaven. He just walks by and says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says to the disciples, the tax collector went home justified. The Pharisee did not. You want to know why bad people go to heaven? Because bad people recognize they have a need for God in their lives. If bad people didn't go to heaven, y'all wasting y'all time praying me. I'm just letting you know up front. A lot of times, we think we are good because of who we compare ourselves to. I know I'm good because I know I'm better than Joe who go to church every week. I know I'm better than my sister. She sit up there singing that choir and she know how she living. You know why we think we good? Because we comparing ourselves to other people. And you know, every now and then, we have to remind people we not perfect. You know when we do it, when we putting somebody else down, after we done said something about somebody, what do we say? Now I know I'm not perfect. Like the other person thought you were. The standard of goodness is not I'm better than you. The standard of goodness is perfection. So if you're not perfect, you're not good. And notice with Jesus. Jesus' method of salvation, when we get rid of this good people go to heaven nonsense, his method of salvation is open to everybody. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter where you were born. Doesn't matter what religion you came out of. Doesn't matter how bad you have been, how good you have tried to be. It doesn't matter how much money you got. Thank God it doesn't matter if you broke or not. Everybody has the opportunity. So before we say, but what about those people who haven't heard? What did Jesus tell us to do? He said, go out and tell them. So it's not Jesus' fault if somebody hasn't heard. It's we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing as a church. Now, I also want us to know, to follow Jesus is going to mean different things to different people. Jesus said, pick up whose cross? Your cross. And he wasn't talking about that little gold pendant that we just put on our thing. And I got my cross on. No, he was saying there are some things in life that are going to be specific to you and your situation. There are going to be some temptations specific to you and your situation. Some circumstances specific to you and your situation. On this journey, we do not all travel the same path. It's the same journey, but there are some things that you're going to have a problem with that's not going to bother me at all, and there are some things that I'm going to have a problem with that's not going to bother you at all. That's why when you sin, it doesn't seem half as bad as when so-and-so sinned, even though they did the same thing. Okay, so we all must pick up our cross to follow him. Now, he does give us a warning. He says, now, if you are not willing to pick up your cross and follow me, you will lose your soul. You see, sometimes we think that, man, if I just got this thing, if I just got this thing, it's going to be, How many of you ever got that thing and, you know, all right, I got it. It just didn't do what you thought. So you can be so, that's what I need in life. And if we go running after thing, after this, after that, we end up losing our soul in the process. And our soul, it's like when I open with the illustration of the diamond ring and the money and the, our soul at death, it lets us know this was the important thing. Now, Jesus really is the best offer that we have, but sometimes Jesus doesn't look as awesome as he is until we actually are at that point of death. We have been invited on this journey in order to receive power. The good thing about Jesus is that Jesus is a person who knows where we're going, who knows how to get there, who knows the way. You know, if you are lost and have no idea where you are, doesn't it feel good to have somebody say, I know exactly where that place is. Follow me, I'll take you right there. You don't want somebody to come up to you, yeah, I heard about that place. I might know where it is, I might not. Follow me. No, you're not following that person. Jesus walked the life that we live for 33 years. He died and for 3 days was there dead, knowing what death was like. He then came back for 40 more days, teaching, preaching the gospel here on this place, and then he went on to heaven. So he knows the whole cycle. He's been through the whole cycle. That's why he can say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. My friends, we all are journeying to the same place. Jesus invites us to be a part of the journey in our lives, but it's left up to us because he said, whoever wants to be my disciple, I encourage you on that journey today. Let's pray. God, we just want to praise and thank you that you love us, and you know the journey that each one of us is on this morning. You know the struggles that each one of us is facing. You know the difficulties that each one of us is going through. You are a great and an awesome God. Lord, help us to surrender those areas of our lives that have not been surrendered to you. Help us to see that you want to make a difference, and you want to make a difference now. Forgive us, oh God, when we've trusted in our own goodness and our own righteousness, instead of putting our full hope and trust in you. Lord, if there's one who's running the race today and really doesn't know which direction to run, draw them unto yourself as you invite them on the journey. In Jesus' name, amen.